It's a big show. I got a surprise for everybody. Guess who's back from vacation, back from her gypsy training camp. You call it a vacation. I call it gypsy training school. Lord knows where she was. Who knows what she's doing? We got to get her caught up, you guys. There's a lot to talk about. There's impeachment stuff. There's IG reports from Horowitz. There's episodes of The Mandalorian. Holy crap, massive seismic shifts in the UK with Boris Johnson. Did he buy a comb? I don't think he'll need one. I think people will comb his hair for him now. We got spying. It's such a big show. Spying versus surveillance. Let's dig in. Let's commence to joking with Gypsy. Are you there? Are you back?
I'm back.
Now, where were you?
I was.
You don't have to tell. You don't have to tell.
No, I was in the Dominican Republic in Punta Cana.
Taking some voodoo lessons?
No. I did find something wonderful called cocoa tea, which I'm trying very hard to hunt down.
Cocoa tea. Now, is that Ice Cube's wife? Does she make that?
No. It's actually the shells of the bean they make chocolate from, and you steep them in hot water, and you get all the benefits of eating dark chocolate with none of the sugar, and it tastes wonderful.
Holy crap. Now, first of all, I gotta pat myself on the back for cocoa tea, because I said that as a little joke, but that would be her name, right? You've got iced tea, that's him, and then you got cocoa tea, who cocoa, I want to tell you guys, nobody go hating on cocoa. She is, she's the wife of the century. She is fantastic. She, I think, is the That's where you want to be. She's the high watermark for hot wives. That's just my opinion. However, I have to embrace the see, here we go. I don't like it when we go off the rails right out of the gate. Like, right out of the gate. Every week, I'm like, we're just going to jump right into news. It's going to be fantastic. But now, I'm interested in, is cocoa tea, like, legitimately, the product you were just talking about, is that available here in America?
I've only been able to find one that I can confirm is the same stuff on Amazon, but there's like thousands of blogs talking about how healthy it is, so I'm very confused.
Now, how does it taste? Does it taste like hot chocolate adjacent? It's got to have that chocolate flavor.
It's hot chocolate adjacent, and you can put a little cinnamon in it, and a little bit of sugar or sweetener, and then it's very hot chocolate adjacent, but it's very healthy for you.
Hold on. I'm serious. I'm writing this down. Cocoa tea. I would try that, because if I'm going to get the antioxidants from dark chocolate, it's a bummer. Dark chocolate is a bummer. That's the false advertising of chocolate. You like, see, here's the thing. We're very different people.
Except for sushi. We're totally sushi aligned.
Yeah. Well, that's just common sense. Like, okay, you know what? Damn it. You remind me, I might be doing stand-up tonight. I'll tell you right now. I might as well say this. I'm going to be headlining Governor's Comedy Club. I want to say Friday the 20th. I should know these things.
You should know. Yes, you should.
Okay. I believe it's Friday the 20th. I'll be headlining Governor's Comedy Club. And I have to write down, I got to remember, I keep forgetting to do my sushi bit. I'm writing it down in my little stand-up notes. Okay. I'll just get this out of the way. I'm all over the board. It's an ADD type opening to the show. I did a new bit the other night about if it's Australian porn, I need a warning. We need a label on Australian porn, because if I'm clicking around the internet looking at some stuff, and all of a sudden the clip starts and it's like, oi, yeah, right. I'm like, I think it's so funny. I don't want to hear that. Like, I'm cool with Australians. Australian chicks are hot. But like, you can't just throw me that curveball. I need to know going in, I'm about to watch Australian porn. It's the shocker. So anyway, I'm hip to the cocoa tea. They say that like dark chocolate is insanely good for you. They say that if it was discovered today, they would sell it in health food stores. Mm-hmm. So I'm down with that. I'm down with like, hey, I'm eating chocolate because I want to live. That's awesome. But it's like I'm a milk chocolate guy. I need that smooth, 85%. creamy. 85% what?
Dark chocolate.
Ooh. Well,
Yep.
I could see you drink tea and you look like a boss. You look like you're cool and all that other stuff. So
Yeah.
I could
Yeah.
slug down a thing of cocoa tea.
I think the only like jacked up chocolate is white chocolate. Like that stuff is gross.
Yeah, it's like they call it that just to sell it, you
Yeah,
know?
it's disgusting.
I love it. I'm a big fan. Small doses, but there is a new M&M. M&M's listens to this show. The people at M&M listen to this show, and they know how much I despised, like, the cherry M&M, the
Strawberry Mac.
strawberry. Holy moly, that was garbage. They have a
Coconut
white.
was great, though.
Ugh. See, we're very different people. We're very different people. Coconut's disgusting. Coconut's,
Pretzel was
once
good.
again, pretzel, listen, there's a big difference. If you get pretzel, small batch pretzel's good. Small batch. If you get like the little individual serving in the paper bag, you know, like right there at the checkout for the grocery store, those are delicious. But if you go with the big bag, the big plastic bag of pretzel,
Yeah.
garbage. They're
But I mean the
garbage.
M&M pretzel ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to go small batch on that. I have strong opinions on this. And coconut is disgusting. That tells me a lot about you, that you like coconut. Coconut.
I love coconut, period. I was piña colada girl last week.
I can't do coconut. Coconut is sushi adjacent. Coconut, they discovered coconut.
Sushi
because,
adjacent?
Yeah, I'm talking about food inspired by starving to death. That's what it is.
Wow.
You're like, I'm going to die on this island. I got to eat something. And you're like, you start eating raw crab. You start eating raw fish because you can't make a fire. And it doesn't kill you. So you tell your friends, no, that's actually, I like it. I like it. No, you're eating it to avoid starving to death. And then you're tired of eating raw fish. You're tired of eating raw crab. And you're like, I'm going to crack open this big, giant, hairy nut. And then whatever's in there, I'll drink that and I'll eat that. And people are like, whoa, that's disgusting. And you go like, no, it's good. I like it. It's like wax paper. It's like chewing on wax paper. Coconut's horrible. You won't convince me otherwise.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I also like papayas and passion fruit and mangoes and guava and everything else they fed me.
I'm cool with that. I'm all cool with that. I'm just glad you lived. I'm just glad you weren't killed by the in-room booze that was killing everybody.
Oh,
remember
see,
that?
See, I was in that really great resort that didn't do the in-room booze. You could order drinks to the room from the bar.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. I think it was those in-room booze things. There's a movie there where somebody's killing tourists. It's a screwball comedy. Anyway, we're jumping in. There is a lot to talk about. There was a lot. That wasn't too self-indulgent. I think it was kind of fun and funny. There's a lot to get you caught up on. There's the impeachment farce that's going on. The IG report, which is both funny and shocking and frightening all at the same time. The Horowitz report is all that in a bag of chips. And so I don't know where we want to start. I don't know.
Can we start with Horowitz? Because that's where my burning question comes from.
Yes. Gypsy's burning question.
So I was out of town for much of the end of the impeachment hearings and the IG report and the IG's testimony. So I've spent the last couple of days, Friday and Saturday, kind of catching up.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. Fresh eyes is what we call it in the business. You got a pair of fresh eyes.
And I came to the end of the whole thing, and I have just one question.
This is like such the massive wind-up for a huge joke. But go ahead. What's the one question?
Why did we ever have a Mueller investigation? They knew there was no there long before Comey was ever fired.
That's a wonderful, wonderful question to have. So I think you have the Mueller investigation because the FBI was holding back. The FBI was holding back. No one at this point, other than a handful of people, knew that there was no there. And in the classic sense, it is a trial in search of a crime. They're hoping that Mueller finds something, even though they know the truth about Carter Page, even though they know there's nothing there. They're hoping that maybe Mueller finds something. And the other benefit that you get from the Mueller report, and this is just my knee-jerk reaction. I didn't know that was your big question. I wasn't prepared for this. But as I'm thinking, the other thing that it gets you is you get to play for time. You get to, while the Mueller investigation is going on for years, you can get together on the weekends and talk to the people who were in on this with you and go, okay, here's how we're going to handle this. Here's what we're going to say. Here's how we're not going to go to jail. Here's how we can protect the people above us. And you'll have a hard time convincing me. You'll have a hard time convincing me that that didn't happen. That James Comey and Brennan and Clapper and the whole gang didn't, they're not dummies. They use their time wisely. So some, I don't even know if heads are going to roll. That's the big shocker. I don't think heads are going to roll
Well,
at the FBI from not off the Horowitz report. Now I got to go all in on Big Billy Barr and who's his dude? Who's his
Durham.
Durham? Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think that was one of the most interesting things to me. And you have to remember, of course, that the Horowitz report is very narrow. He can only talk to people that are still with the Bureau. And here's what KG Comey did, in case you missed it. When Comey agreed to answer questions from the Horowitz team, he refused to re-engage his security clearance so they could ask him about classified information.
See? That's one of those things that I'm talking about. That's great. Like, I mean, it's not great, but it's like that's what you do. You're like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. And then some buddy of yours is like, dude, settle down. Let the Mueller reports go on. We got some time. If they talk to you, don't get it's that it's that kind of thing. It's disgusting.
I'm not saying it's not, but all I'm saying is his is very narrow. It was only focused on FISA. He was really only talking to people within the FBI and only people that are still employed unless they voluntarily agreed to be questioned. And then for those who did, he only had a limited number of things he could question them about because they refused to re-engage with security clearance.
Yeah.
Durham has the power to subpoena people, compel testimony, talk across all of the agencies. And I did watch Bill Barr's interview on NBC. That was very interesting. Did you see
Yeah.
it?
I did not. I didn't.
Okay.
I've been crazy busy. It's weird. I'm kind of cherry picking the things that I'm drilling down on. I'm doing the thing that I hate about the left. Like they'll take one little nugget and go, "See, that's proof." But I have a nugget. I have a nugget that I think is all that in a bag of chips, and I'll talk about that in mere moments. I want to stick with the Bill Barr. I like having the fresh eyes on it. I like you came back from gypsy poisoning school
Gypsy poisoning school.
Right, how to avoid Dominican dark arts
Oh,
poisoning.
I'm not saying my liver isn't a little impaired, but I'm not dead.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so Big Billy Barr, and then I'm gonna we gotta talk about tanning. But okay, so Big Billy Barr did what? What are you
Oh
keying in
no,
on?
he went on NBC and was very clear. I mean, the interviewer, I don't even remember the guy's name because he's not somebody I'm necessarily familiar with,
It
but it's
wasn't
out on
Chuck
YouTube.
Todd. It wasn't Chuck Todd.
No, it wasn't Chuck Todd.
Okay.
And what a moron. The couple clips I've seen of him in the last couple weeks, it's like, dude, take a Xanax.
Yes, they're giving him sugar cubes now when he waves people down and gestures wildly and talks over them and tells them to be quiet and they're not a good American. So that's
Yeah, you're
definitely
my guest, but please shut up. Yeah, no, that's what's an interesting take. I'm like, what are you doing? But
Ratings.
Bill Barr was very clear, very controlled, and very consistent with everything he has said to this point, And he was 100% supportive of, and this was what I found interesting, when the IG report set, went out, Durham put out a statement that said, basically, yeah, this isn't the final word because I have more information than this guy does, and we told him that, but he did it anyway. So, and I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, and I don't think Horowitz did a bad job. I think he was very consistent with the way that IGs normally function, but I think he wanted to give that mainstream media that little sentence that said, "Oh, the IG says the investigation was appropriately predicated." That's not exactly what he said,
Amen to that, sister. That's where I was going to.
but that's I think he was throwing them a bone because everything else was so terrible, right? That he had to put something in there that they could say that wasn't completely awful.
Well, this is what our good, or not our good friend, the casual acquaintance, Cheryl Atkison, the former CBS journalist, has her own show over there on Sinclair. She tweeted out 16 hours ago that Horowitz actually testified there was remarkable bias and misconduct throughout the FBI probe, and political bias demonstrated by numerous players, all of which has been deferred to Durham and the FBI to address. She read the report. That's what it says. So that's, you cherry pick what you want to hear. Oh, I don't think there's any bias in this part. However, he does say that there was bias and misconduct, and that he told Durham about it. And he goes, Durham, that's up to you to get a hold of. It's
Carter
strange.
Page should sue all of them.
Oh, good Lord.
He
Good
should
Lord.
bankrupt every single one of them. Anybody who signed those FISA warrants, he should sue them personally,
Well,
along with every major media outlet.
the media, they're going to be protected by, hey, we were just going by, bing, bang, and boom. Here's what I keyed on. And I did a YouTube video about this. The dance with YouTube continues, by the way. While you were gone,
Oh, yeah,
they're
they
going.
updated their TOS. Saw that. Yeah.
So I've chosen to say my stuff is not friendly for kids, because they're like, if you designate yourself as an adult grown-up thing and a kid accidentally sees it, there's gonna be hell to pay. So I keep telling them, hey, grown-ups only, even though it's squeaky clean. Like, as always, I'm playing by the rules. I'm playing by the rules. Change the system from within. So they go back and they demonetize an old video, and then you go, hey, could you look at this? And they go, oh, they get back to you a couple days later. Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. That is suitable. It never with this kind of speed, though. Never with this kind of speed have they demonetized something. It usually takes about a half an hour. Last night I did a video about the Horowitz report, and just one little hunk of it, just one little hunk, a quote from Horowitz himself. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty good, and I thought it was not only informative but also entertaining. And it's going ding, 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 and you can see the within 5 minutes, I literally got up from my laptop to go get myself a refreshing diet ginger ale. I come back and it's been demonetized, so they're reviewing it. But here's what I keyed on, and it's my little take on the thing. So you got Inspector General Horowitz. This is a quote, and I held it up because I'm like, I don't want to get anything wrong. I want to quote this. He goes, "We are deeply concerned that so many basic and fundamental errors were made by three separate, hand-picked investigative teams on one of the most sensitive FBI investigations." Okay, so that's where I don't want to spoil the whole YouTube video because I enjoy it. So go check that out. And we also have it up at theloftistparty.com. You can see it there. In fact, go watch it there. Go watch it at
Right.
theloftistparty.com. But here's what I thought was shocking. Like, so you've got like, and I'm quoting him, basic and fundamental errors were made by three separate investigative teams. So not three separate people. Like, I could see, I can maybe believe that two people made a basic and fundamental error. When you get into three people all made the same fundamental error, and then you realize, holy crap, this isn't three people who made the same basic and fundamental error. These are three teams of people. And then I'm like, how many people are on a team? Is it teams of five? Are we talking about 15 people all made? That's when you're like, you cannot spit on me and tell me that it's raining.
Right.
And they're hand-picked. So there's so many questions like, okay, who did the picking? What was the fundamental error? And all that good stuff. And so I thought it was hilarious. So if the FBI is the elite of the elite, they're the top cops in America, and you're telling me three teams of people who are on the most sensitive, one of the most sensitive FBI investigations, and they're all making basic and fundamental errors, if those are the best you got, then you want me to believe that the FBI is just an agency full of idiots. If the top three teams can't tie their shoes, what's going on at the lower level? I'm now at the place where you have to prove to me that the FBI is not full of morons. That's the only way the logic works. We're all idiots, and these are the smartest idiots.
I actually have a big problem with the word errors. These were not errors. These were things that were intentionally done.
Well, especially
they intentionally talked to that Russian who said, "Are you kidding me? That was barroom talk and jokes and things said by." I can't even believe he put that in the report. You mean he put that in the report? Their characterization of the subsource telling them, "Yeah, that was all bullcrap," was he was forthright and honest. Not that he said it was bullcrap.
I think. And there's a person who will, a source of mine, who is who does this kind of work still for a living, security stuff. And it's funny. It goes back to the insurance policy. When you've got someone who just walks up to Carter Page and starts doing X, Y, and Z, that's just you're just part of that's just laying a foundation. That's just. We need an event to happen to spark the next series of events. So go take a run at him, say X, Y, and Z. Hopefully he'll report back that X, Y, and Z happened. Then we're off to the races. And it looks like that's what happened. So it's listen, I got.
Oh, yeah, except the dude said none of that really happened. I have no verification of any of it. And they got three more warrants after that.
Right. However, with Carter Page and also with Papadopoulos, let's not forget the Papadopoulos of it all. So I was less than impressed with the Horowitz report, the IG report, and it took me back to the whole IRS thing and what a just giant, like, let's not forget that. I went back and was because I was thinking about incorporating some of that stuff into the video, and I'm like, nah. You get off the point. However, that was it's crazy. Like the Lois Lerner, I'll never get over the IRS scandal. It was a handful of employees down in Cincinnati. Well, can we see the emails? Oh, we don't have those. And then there is an email where Lois Lerner is telling people, hey, let's be careful what we say in emails. And then somebody's like, hey, I think we found the emails. And the new head of the IRS is like, oh, we accidentally destroyed those two. So we shouldn't have faith in these institutions. We really shouldn't.
No,
and Horowitz wants us to believe that they're an agency full of idiots that make basic and fundamental errors on the most one of the most important cases. And then the other thing it takes me back to, and this is just more grist for the mill, more gravy, is the whole Dianne Feinstein of it all. Like, if they thought that the Trump campaign was compromised, why didn't they tell Trump? They certainly, that's what they did with Dianne Feinstein. For you guys, new listeners and stuff, Dianne Feinstein, her driver, her chauffeur, was a Chinese spy.
For 30 years.
Yes.
It wasn't like he'd been driving for a week.
Yes. So what they didn't do, what they didn't do, which is what they didn't illegally surveil Feinstein and her driver. They just called up Diane and like, hey, we think your
Problem.
show we well we know your chauffeur is a Chinese spy. And she's like, you are fired, sir. So she terminated him, and that was it. And that was the end of the story. And like, no one cares. No one cares. But then with the Trump campaign, they're like, okay, let's try to get somebody in there. We'll get some FISA warrants going. Don't tell. No, don't tell them. Don't tell them. You'll ruin
I
it.
mean, they wired people up. They withheld exculpatory information, right? That's a Brady violation. They violated the Woods procedures where they sign off and say everything on this FISA application is true. And they altered evidence. Those are three crimes.
Oh my
Three
God,
crimes.
it's horrible, and it's just so wild. And it's just so wild to see the media and Comey going, there you go, there it is, I'm totally validated.
Totally
Now you
vindicated.
see, right? Right?
Well, did you see Horowitz in the hearing? When
No, I was at
Lindsey
work.
Graham asked him, he said, "Well, James Comey like wrote this big op-ed in the New York Times that said your report vindicated him. Is that the case, sir?" And he goes, "I don't think this report indicates anyone or vindicates anyone who touched these filings."
Oh goodness. And it's it
Yeah.
even says he even says that they have serious problems, and I'm paraphrasing here, so don't sue me. But he's like, with the field agents, with their supervisors, with he goes, the entire chain of command. The entire chain of command.
He
And then
wrote
I'm
an
thinking,
entire report on Comey himself that was devastating.
yeah. But when you're talking about the entire chain of command, you're
Oh,
like,
yeah.
ooh, where how high up does the chain of command go? And then I remembered, I'd totally forgotten this. I had totally forgotten about the Obama administration got busted spying on Angela Merkel. Do you remember that?
And Congress.
And France. And reporters.
And
I'm like, it
Israel.
was. It's a level of insanity. But like it's one I totally forgot about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, Obama was the Obama administration, I will say. Their NSA. However, they were spying on
I'm
Germany,
still waiting.
spying on France, listening to Angela Merkel, spying on reporters. It's like
And they have a problem with Trump.
they have a problem with Trump saying, do me a favor and look into corruption in your country. Because
Yeah.
we're about to give you a boatload of money and some missiles and some other stuff.
And
If
we
you
don't
can
want
just
you to
make sure.
lose more than the 7 billion you already have.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
There's
Go
here's
ahead,
something
you got more.
here's something I may actually be looking forward to. Do you remember when
Do
Bill
you
Barr was being
remember?
when Bill Barr was being confirmed? And I said,
Okay.
as soon as that man is in the chair, the Mueller probe will end.
I do. I remember that. You're like, I remember it very distinctly. You're like,
Yep.
now it's over. Now
It's
it's over.
over. And it
And
was
I'm
over
like,
3 days.
why? And
Three
you're like,
days.
no, because Bill Barr's in there now, and Bill Barr is no joke, and he's gonna have at the and you were spot on, sister.
And
You were spot on.
who was Mueller reporting to before that? Rod Rosenstein.
Well, isn't that the okay, keep going. I don't want to interrupt your stream of
He
thought.
was Jeff Sessions' deputy attorney general. So when Sessions recused himself, which he never should have done, like legit, now they want everyone to recuse themselves. They want Bill Barr to recuse himself. They want Mitch McConnell to recuse himself. It's like that's their new go-to. Like,
Yeah.
shut up. Half the Judiciary Committee should have recused themselves. But anyway, Rod Rosenstein was Mueller's effective boss, right? He expanded his scope. He brought him on board. And if
Yeah.
you're telling me that Rod Rosenstein did not know there was no there, I don't believe you. Because
Oh.
as soon as Mueller was not reporting to Rod Rosenstein, he was out of there. Or at least Weissman was. I think that was probably a Weissman call.
Yeah.
Because Rosenstein was a friendly. I've heard people say, no, Rosenstein was the person who put it all together and he gave Barr all the information he needed. No, if he gave Barr any information, it was to keep himself from going to jail. And the best thing I heard in these interviews that cracked me up, and God, I hope he was serious, is Lindsey Graham, when he was closing out with, I believe it was Sean Hannity, said, all I know is that Rod Rosenstein better be prepared to testify.
Which is a wonderful soundbite.
Him in the Senate judiciary, and I want to see him squirm.
It'll be, listen, Lindsey Graham, he's getting close to Trey Gowdy levels here. Mm-hmm. He's getting close. He's dancing right on the edge where he talks. He gives you a great soundbite. He talks a lot. And when he's like, yeah, all I know is this, Sean, Rod Rosenstein, he better get ready to testify. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I want it to be true. However, it has to happen. It has to happen.
Yes, it does.
Lindsey talks a lot of smack and nothing ever happens. Well, I'm still on this. I'm like, listen, I was just bringing up the IRS thing and now you can, okay. It was a handful of, let's just pretend to believe the whole, oh, it was just a handful of people in the Cincinnati office. Okay, that was one thing. Then you talk about all those witnesses that came by and they were like, oh my gosh, I can never remember the name of the Supreme Court justice. Oh yeah,
Kavanaugh.
Yeah, he whipped his wiener out. They'd gang rape us and oh, they got us drunk and there was roofies everywhere and oh, they boofed me and blah, 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 blah. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Mm-hmm. And then you have these people in Congress and you have Lindsey Graham. You know, this isn't going to stand. This won't happen. You are in deep trouble by lying. No one got into deep trouble.
Referred him. The DOJ didn't do anything.
And what is up with that? At some point, and then it's a wonderful but horrible thing at the same time, where the big thing that the Democrats are doing with Trump is like, no one is above the law. It seems like everybody is. It seems like everybody is above the law. You know, the IRS guy, oh, we found the emails. What happened? Oh, we accidentally destroyed them. Oh, really? Okay, that's fine. We'll let that go. And with the way they handled, Peter Strzok, with the way he handled the Hillary Clinton investigation and all that. Oh, that's no problem. That's no problem. Nobody gets into trouble. You get in front of Congress and senators and you lie about, oh, yeah, Kavanaugh boofed me in front of God and everybody. And at these parties, it would happen all the time. There was a whole gang of them. That's a lie. Nobody gets in trouble. And then you got the IG, the Horowitz report comes out like, yeah, it was some basic errors made by a couple teams of like. And then you've got the lawyer, Carter Page, was a CIA source. And so they start investigating to him. And he's like, hey, you guys, I'm a CIA source. I'm good to go. And then the FBI shoots an email to the CIA. Hey, is this dude a source or not? And then some lawyer gets in there and goes, no, he's not. He's not. That was the change. And that's just malicious. I don't want that guy to lose his job. I want that motherfucker to go to jail.
And he's been referred. He's been referred to the DOJ. He's been referred to Durham and Barr. But remember, Durham's investigation is still ongoing. They're going to want to find out who told him to do that.
Yes.
He didn't come up with that all on his own.
And then you've got, holy crap. It's just in the conversation.
And then you have Brennan.
Giving to me. Hold on. You've got Peter Strzok talking to his girlfriend going, hey, the president wants to know everything.
Right.
What did the president know and when did he know it? Oh,
well,
boy.
Apparently that was a little bit buried in the report, but Jim Comey remembers updating him kind of broadly one time. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Try again, Jimmy. But buried in – oh, now I totally lost it. Oh, never mind. We got to go. I'm on cold medicine. Sorry.
Yeah, I would never guess. It's a thrilling, good conversation. There's outrage. There's laughs. But it is like, it is. It's one of the great things about, oh, you remembered it. You remembered it.
I remembered it.
Get it.
The one thing that I will say that makes me think that Lindsey Graham is probably more serious than maybe he has been in the past, mm-hmm, is, well, during the IG, hearing in the Senate while Horowitz was talking, he basically said, now, Lindsey Graham, you have to remember, he is one of the biggest military hawks in the Senate, in the Republican Party, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like in the John Bolton class, right? He basically said, I have supported FISA and the FISA court since 9/11 as part of our total national security profile. And unless I have Christopher Wray in this room telling me exactly how this is going to be fixed so this can never happen again, I'll vote to disband it. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here is here's a funny little moment. Not a funny little moment. Not funny. Ha ha. Wow, we got some major fires going on over here. There is I'm living out on Long Island, and it's I believe it's 100% volunteer firemen. And here's the disturbing thing that no one tells you, and they should tell you when you're brand new. I grew up in Ohio, and yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. In Columbus, growing up, they would test the tornado sirens. Mm-hmm. That's how you knew it was noon on Friday, right? Precisely at noon on Friday, you would hear those sirens. If it was not noon on Friday and you heard those sirens, take cover, because that meant a tornado's coming. All right, so I'm working on this Netflix show. I'm living on Long Island. And it's like a few weekends ago, boom, there goes the siren. It's the exact same siren from my childhood. And I'm like, it is not noon on Friday. It is not noon on Friday. So there is a great puckering of the butthole. And I'm like looking around, but the sun is shining. And like, this doesn't seem, I'm like, well, maybe they were just testing it. Maybe they were just testing it. So I did some investigating, and because it's an all volunteer fire department, that means, hey, you guys, we need you to report. So if you're from the Midwest and you're ever visiting Long Island and all of a sudden the tornado warning siren goes off, that it's not a tornado. It's like, hey, volunteer firemen, we need you to come in because there's a fire. So that was a terrifying little moment for me. Back to the FISA abuse and all that good stuff.
I like Ted Cruz's take.
You know, Ted Cruz did like, listen, Ted, don't make with the ha-ha. Someone else, and another Republican did this. He made some little, what's more unpopular than the Peloton bike? The impeachment hearings. I'm like, no, dude, don't. Don't do it. And then Ted Cruz like, this wasn't the FBI. This was Beavis and Butthead. Don't. You insult everybody when you try to make jokes. But what did you like about what Cruz did?
No, that was basically what this wasn't Jason Bourne. This was Beavis and Butthead. It's 100% true.
But like, it wasn't. They did all but it this. Wasn't. That's like the joke. Here's what I hate about it. It's the joke doesn't fit. You're wrong. Because Beavis and Butthead were just idiots. Beavis and Buttheads were idiots. And exactly, this was not Jason Bourne. No, it was more Jason Bourne. This was way more Jason Bourne than it was Beavis and Butthead. They want us to believe. Horowitz wants us to believe that it was Beavis and Butthead. That's just dudes being incompetent. Those are just idiots. Look at that. She's got like big boobs and stuff. That's Beavis and Butthead. Jason Bourne is, okay, make it look like this is that, and then when this guy finds out that this is that, you go over and kill him. This is way more Jason Bourne than Beavis and Butthead. It was a bad...
Well, I'm so, like, it was interesting, because I was watching, I can't remember the guy's name now, he's a Fox News contributor that's actually a Democrat. He, like, worked on Bill Clinton's campaign and Walter Mondale's campaign. And in 2016, he did an appearance at Hillsdale College and a lecture, right? Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the lecture, he hated Hillary Clinton. He thought she was the most corrupt person in the world. And he was talking about how that election was actually going to be about the citizens of the country against the political class more than it was going to be about Democrats and Republicans, because Democrats and Republicans had basically become the uniparty.
Yes.
Like, it was the most prophetic thing I had ever heard. But he was talking about surveys that he conducts through Rasmussen and just huge numbers of people saying the political class is run amok, this, that, and the other. I mean, just huge numbers of people saying, I have no confidence in this institution, the media, this, that, and the other thing. And that was before Trump was elected. I would love to see those numbers now.
Yes. And
I can't even imagine how bad they would be.
It's the wonderful thing about, you know, social media. I believe that there is a way to put more checks and balances onto FISA. I think that there is, you know, listen, there's still attacks going on. You're still going to need to do wiretap and move relatively quickly. But there has to be a way to figure out the checks and balances. It was interesting. I was down at Fox News the other day. I got the call. I was at work and got a call from one of the producers, and they said, "Hey, you know, Greg Gutfeld he's not feeling well. He's pretty sick, and he doesn't think he can, you know, do the show today. Is there any way you could come in?" And I checked with the powers that be, and I'm like, "Hey, I'd love to do this." So yes, long story short, I go down to Fox, and I get prepared, and I write my little, you know, my little insights about all the stories and blah 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 blah. So we're on the set, we're all ready to go. It's oh my gosh, it's me, Dana Perino, Juan Williams, Jesse Waters, and Dagan McDowell. Holy moly. So anyway, I'm a huge fan. So I'm sitting next to Perino, and meanwhile, Nadler's doing the whole articles of impeachment, and anybody can try to make an amendment, and they get their time in the sun. So we're all on standby. So right. We're kind of watching. So I start talking to Perino about, you know, the FBI and the FISA abuse. I'm like, "So what's up with that?" And I tell you what, she's not an actress. She's genuine. And she was in, she was in the administration when that whole thing started. Mm-hmm. You know, she was working for Bush. She looked so bummed out. And she's like, "I went to bat," talking about the FBI. "You know, I've defended them." She looked hurt. "You know, I've defended these guys. I've defended the FBI. And for this," she was just so, it was just wild to see how crestfallen she was. Not thrilled.
Well, I mean, I saw that not from Lindsey Graham and Ben Sasse, too. These have all been defenders of this process, and they are just blown away.
Mm-hmm.
They have said for years, "Oh, no, you can't. The only one who's going, see, I told you, are Rand Paul and Mike Lee."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can remember when they were talking about, you know, passing this thing and making sure, like, "No, we need this. And there was a very, very small group of people who were like, this can be abused.
Yep.
So that's the whole nexus of all this, like, who's watching the watcher. It was.
And then,
go ahead.
I mean, you had the CIA tell the FBI, "Yeah, this guy was a source for us." You had the FBI alter the email.
Mm-hmm.
That was in January of 2017. Since January of 2017, how many times has John Brennan, former head of the CIA, been on television and never corrected the record?
That is, and with such vitriol and with mm-hmm. such vehemence, it's...
Oh, I want Carter Page to sue him.
Oh,
like big time.
I told you I met Carter Page, right?
No, I didn't, like, know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I met Carter Page 2 years ago at Politicon in Los Angeles. Okay. And it's too funny. I'm like, "Hey, man, you know, nice to meet you." He's like, "Hey, good to meet you." And like the second thing out of my mouth, I swear to God, I'm like, "You got to sue these dudes. You got to sue these dudes." And he's like, "I am. I'm suing for $1. And I'm like, "What?"
"What?"
And he's like, "Yeah, it's about the point of the matter." And like now, after the Horowitz report, I'm like, "Dude, you need to add some zeros.
You need to up that amount, dude.
You need to add some zeros to that bitch."
Right.
Okay. It's It's horrible. And this is what happens. And this is the wonderful thing about, you know, well, the Twitter of old and the YouTube of old and the Facebook of old before the clampdowns are coming. And they are, you know, they are coming. But like, people are realizing. I'm kind of optimistic because you look at what just happened in England, and that's the other cool thing. Oh yeah, that's what happened. We were talking about the FBI, and Perino's kind of like bummed out. She's like, you know, man, I defended these guys, and then bing, her phone goes off, and we start getting the, you know, because she's connected, her phone starts going off. It's her friends in England going, it's a landslide. It's Boris Johnson and a landslide, and we're all, and so Jesse Waters is like, how big of a landslide? And I'm like, woo, I'm getting excited. Dagan McDowell's like, oh damn, what's going on? She's just fantastic, by the way. I cannot say enough cool things about Dagan McDowell. So then it turned into Brexit fever, and it's just, I think it's just so fantastic after all the crap that they've been through in Europe and England and the UK trying to get out of this whole European Union thing. I love it that they won big. They haven't won. I've heard some great
This is bigger
analogies.
than Thatcher.
That's what they're saying. They're like,
Yeah.
it's like Chicago and Detroit going full on conservative. It's they haven't seen this kind of power swing
Well, I mean,
in a million years. It's fantastic. It's
how
wonderful.
much further left could you have gone than the Marxist anti-Semite, Jeremy Corbyn? Like, if that is your standard bearer, how do people of good conscience actually pull the lever for that?
Yes, and they put on this great spin, and now even as we speak, they're trying to blame it on Russian
I
interference.
know.
They're
I
pulling
know.
that old
I
trope
find
out.
it, I tweeted this out as soon as I saw that. I said, I find it hysterical that conservatives and Republicans who inherit the legacy of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, who blew apart the Soviet Union, are now the Russian assets. This is
Yes.
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
Ridiculous.
hilarious. Oh my gosh, just I'm
Who was
looking at
the
my
guy in
watch.
2012 who said the 1980s want their foreign policy back? Oh, yeah, I think that was Barack Obama.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to switch gears here. So here's the other thing that happened. So with that look of disappointment that Perino had on her face about the FBI, later on, like in between you know, because we have to like these do these little bumpers, like, hey, we're watching the impeachment trial, we'll be right back after this, blah blah blah. Perino looks at me with that same that same disappointment, and she's like, why do you put butts on your Instagram every Saturday? She was just she's like it was hilarious. She was so like it was a quizzical disappointment look on her face. And I go, and it was the wrong answer. It was the wrong answer. It's like one of those things you figure it out in the shower. What I should have said. Okay, here we'll do it this way. Here's what I said. What I said is, I'm reinventing the right. And she looked at me like, are you crazy? And I go, no, everybody thinks that the right is uptight and we're all, you know, no fun. We have the most fun. We're the most go-getters, but we're having better sex and all this. And it was just full-on disappointment. Like I don't, I can now, I can now picture her in her house with her husband, with the dog, and like, uh-oh, it's Saturday, here it comes. So, here's, you know what I should have said? What I should have said? Cause I like 'em, cause I like 'em a lot. That would have been the
Or
best.
you could have just said, oh, that's just my social media manager. They're trying to make us a little edgy.
No, I gotta own it. I gotta
You
own it.
gotta own
So,
it? All right.
yeah. And I should have just owned it completely because I like butts. So, and of course, it affected me. It affected my decision making. So instead of putting, I have a, there's a person, a big LoftusParty.com person who's just amazing. Because this is the cool part. This is what I've always wanted to have happen. People go, hey, maybe you could use this funny meme. And a lot of times I use it. And like, oh, that's great. Thanks for sending that in. Somebody sent in this amazing, it's like a ballerina naked in front of a mirror, just complete, just it's gorgeous. And it's a good picture. I didn't go with that. I didn't do that one. I didn't do the hot piece of booty. I ended up, somebody makes corgi butt bread. And you know, it's all cute and innocent. So that was the Saturday booty. It was all so like listen, next week's gonna be hardcore. Next Saturday, not hardcore, but it's gonna be more of a, I don't want to get too cutesy bootsy with it, because I like,
Yeah.
yeah, because
We'll
I like
see
them.
if you can overcome it.
I believe I can. I've already had
Okay.
one. I've already had one person, a big Loftus Party follower. And what was the picture? I should go back. I should just look at it right now. It was a picture of the Saturday booty, and this person who's great and has been very supportive. And so I will address your Instagram comment in the podcast. Like they said, who are you? Like in a horrified way. And
Right.
she's like, who are you? And then in another comment, she writes, know your audience, dude. And so my thing to that is, yes, I do. Listen, I know the people. If we go full outrage, the numbers go through the roof. The numbers go through the roof. I know I can do that. The whole philosophy of this thing from the very beginning is I want to make a bigger tent. I'm not going to be a stick in the mud. Yes, it might slow me. I posted stuff before, and there's people who are like, okay, bye-bye. And that's fine. And if you're like, super right wing, super Christian, super this, that, and that, that's fantastic. And you can dip in whenever you want. However, yes, there's gonna be talk of booze. Yes, there's gonna be talk of sex stuff. Yes, there's gonna be talk about nerd stuff. Yup, there's gonna be talk about great food. It's gotta be more. It's got to be more. We can't just keep planting our flags on this moral, I have the moral high ground and I don't enjoy da 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 da. Well, that's pornographic. Oh, shut up. Shut
Oh,
up.
yeah.
We're having
So
fun.
I get invited to the 300,000, 372,000 person Bikers for Trump private group. Yeah,
Nice.
there's some real conservative social conservatives in there, let me tell you.
I listen. Let's get those guys into the fold. Let's get some of them going. That's who I want to hang out with. Like those are the to me. Like here's I'm not even kidding
Who
you.
I do hang out with.
That's sweet. Get them on board. Let them post stuff at the website. The Bikers for Trump. Those dudes. They know how to have a good time. The Black Rifle Coffee dudes. They know how to have a good time. It's
Love
all
those guys.
good. And also, and like the nerds are welcome too. It's all of it. Listen, here's what's driving the LoftusParty.com right now. It's stuff that I'm into. It's stuff that Lisa is into. It's stuff that Paul is into. It's stuff that, oh, I'm trying to find Gloria that she's into. It's every, but you guys, everyone's welcome. What are you into? It's that's what. Listen, I'm not trying to compete with Facebook or Twitter or any of that stuff. I'm just saying, oh my gosh. And then I gotta talk about this. This dude has this great company, and he sent me, I'm a money clip guy now. You miss this. If you get a chance, go to the Pimp It page, because this is how this is supposed to work. Paul Hare has a great new book, by the way. Paul Hare, he and his friends get together and they do these short stories, and it's an anthology series, and they just get together, they write these crazy short stories that are like, it's politics, it's pop culture, it's all that stuff. It's called Appalling Stories. They're on their fourth installment. Go out and grab a copy. This other dude reached out to me from this company called What's Your Caliber? Gypsy, you got to go check this out. What they do,
Okay.
they make money clips, they make cuff links, and they're using the ass end of bullets. I have one,
Nice.
yeah, and it's so cool looking, and everybody loves it. It's like it not only is it cool looking, but it's actually a cool little conversation piece. And I'm gonna have to start, as I do more stuff on Fox, I'm gonna have to start dressing it up a little bit. I'm gonna order up a thing of the cuff links. I want the bullet cuff links too.
Oh,
We got
there you
my
go.
merch on there, and I don't. Oh my gosh! And here's the other thing: if you're, this is great. Now we're just doing ads for companies that I get. Listen, I'm not benefiting from this other than this is in the spirit in which it's intended. Sinister Gates from Avenged Sevenfold. His dad is Brian Hayner, who's on the Freedom to Laugh tour. So Brian and Sinister, they have an online school where you can learn how to play the guitar. It's completely free. It's completely free. They pay for, everything by merch sales. So there you go. You got a kid that wants to learn how to play guitar. Boom. There's a link on the Pimp It page. And I don't want to forget the other cool kids from holy smoke. I'm scrolling down. I got to re-up that. It's the guys from the Trump 2020 pouches. That it's going to keep your ammo dry. It's going to keep your moisture out of your bathroom and closets and all that stuff. So it's happening. It's working. It's a cool thing. But yeah, there's also going to be a little bit of sexy, a little bit of sex. So get the sticks out of your collective booties. Everybody's welcome. The Star Wars fans are welcome. The Mandalorian fans. You have to get Disney Plus. You have to get caught up on The Mandalorian.
Are you paying for it?
Do the free week.
Free
Wait
week and
until.
just binge it? Yeah, I'll do that
Yeah,
after Christmas.
there's only two more episodes left, so do the free week. But
Well,
it's
I'll do the free week when the two episodes are done. Yeah,
Now,
after the holidays. There's too much going on.
Bill Burr was in last night's episode. Bill Burr, the stand-up comic. Listen, this is twice. This is twice now. My buddy Brian Posehn was in episode one, made me insanely jealous. Then Bill Burr was in last night's episode. I got a little jealous. I was very much jealous, but I'm not a little bit. I was very, very much jealous. Here's the cool thing that happened. You got, and this is what this is. It speaks to the LoftusParty.com. It speaks to this podcast, and I think we had a huge one today. When you were like saying, "Hey, remember when Bill Barr became the guy and we called it?" You're like, "I said, da-da-da-da." And that's what happened, because you've got your gypsy crystal ball. We're so, it's crazy, and I've literally thought about it. I think we're actually too far ahead of the curve. I think maybe we have to dumb this thing down a little bit, because it is like we're predicting the future in a fun and funny way. When The Last Jedi came out, and just, I wasn't the only one, but we're railing on it, and then people are like, "Oh, you just don't like it because of X, Y, and Z and strong women," and we've beat that horse to death. It's hilarious to me now, because Rise of Skywalker is coming out. J.J. Abrams and the rest of the cast are on this global tour, and you get tired. You get tired because you're talking to these, and the truth is slipping out. The truth is slipping out. J.J. Abrams is like, he didn't like it. He didn't like it. How could he like it? How could he like The Last Jedi? And John Boyega was like, "Wow, we were all so happy to hear that J.J. was coming back. We were so glad," because they know, like, The Last Jedi was garbage and it's coming out. And J.J. Abrams knows it. And the girl who plays Rey knows it. And John Boyega knows it. And they're all saying it publicly now, which is fantastic. Which is fantastic. It doesn't cure the giant hurt that was done. The possible destruction of this great and beloved franchise, but it just makes me feel better. And if you were listening to the show, that's a big cough. That's a big cough. If you were listening to this show, you knew it before time. You knew it ahead of time, before time. So it's fantastic. I was so delighted to hear that the mask is slipping off. They've done a pretty good job over trying to pretend that, "Oh no, that's a good movie. It subverted expectations. It subverted expectations." Well, if you mean everyone was expecting a good movie and you gave us garbage, then yeah, that subverted my expectation. And the great parallel is this: you can't eventually, like The Last Jedi, it was garbage, and everybody's like, "Oh no, it's good, it's good, it's good." And you can say that, and you can try to convince yourself, and you can try to convince your friends, but from on every level, that was a horrible movie. That was a horrible movie. Structurally, all that stuff. Character development, plot development, moving the story forward. It was horrible. And eventually people find out. And it's what happened in American politics, and it's what we just witnessed in England. You can tell, you can have the media, and you can have all these people going, no, it's going lovely, it's going well, and here's the solution to be, we need more of this and more of that, and finally people go, you're crazy. I've had enough. I've had enough. I want, which party's going to give me less of this? Which party's going to give me less of this? And then they leave. And it's like, it's the wonderful thing that just happened last night. A Democrat is switching parties. I don't even know where this guy's
New
from.
Jersey
New Jersey, I
or
guess
New
is,
Jersey. Yeah,
I guess is.
he's one of those moderates that won in a Trump district, and he's been catching a lot of hell when he's
Yes,
been going home.
his numbers are horrible. So finally, I guess he went to the White House the other night and just had a sit down with Trump, and he goes, "Yeah, I'll just leave. I'll just leave. I might as well do it now." So he's doing it, and I think it's wonderful.
He's one of the Democrats that did not vote for impeachment. He was one of the ones that made the vote against it bipartisan originally. So yeah, no, and he, there's no way he could vote for in the next one and win his district. It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, so it'll be him. It'll be, let's see what Joe Manchin does. I just think
I'm
it's.
wondering about Doug Jones from Alabama too. He's got a run in 2020 in Alabama.
Yeah, well, that will
And
be. We
the
will
only
have.
reason he won was because he was running against Roy Moore, probably the worst, and I do mean the worst candidate in history.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. I would love to do some more digging into that Roy Moore thing, because that was right there. I'm not gonna pass any. Roy Moore ran again.
Oh no, I'm not talking about because of all the rumors that they started and everything else. I'm going to put about as much faith in that as I do in everything. He's just not a good candidate.
But that's. Who knows? And then, I'm gonna try to go see that new that Richard Jewell movie about the Atlanta Park bomber and how that guy was a hero and he was just dragged through the mud. So we got a lot to catch up on next week. More holiday madness, more LoftusParty.com stuff, more you, all of the above. It's going swimmingly well. It's a busy time of season. Gimlet, I'm glad you're back.
Glad to be back.
We didn't even get to the whole did you try to suntan your butthole for wellness? And
No.
I think that ship has sailed. All
No,
right.
that ship doesn't even have a sail. Not in my life.
That's the perfect way to end. Thanks for listening to the show. Tell your friends. Let's grow this bitch. All right, bye.